We interrupt this program to bring you...
OT, OT.
It's disgusting. I don't want to talk about it. No, it's too disgusting. Don't say it. It's disgusting.
Hour number two of Overtime, coming at you live on this Monday with you for one more hour as we kick off your week in the right way. Still got the high of Tennessee being at the highest spot in the land. Tennessee Volunteers, number one in the country, getting 48 of the 64 total votes. Also, number one in the coaches poll. You see that? All but two first place votes in the coaches poll. The other two going to Duke, of course. So how about that?
It's big.
Undisputed, at least for this week, number one team in the country. And, of course, in this hour, we're going to talk a little more later in the show about exactly what happened in the NFL championship games yesterday as well. But you know what time it is. It's 7 o'clock. And with National Signing Day, the original National Signing Day, quickly approaching, Tennessee Jeremy Pruitt still working on completing the 2019 signing class, trying to get some of these big-time prospects to send in their letter of intent, and had a big recruiting weekend as well. A lot of players on campus. And with that being said, no one knows more about recruiting on this show than Cole McCormick. It's Recruiting Updates brought to you by Knoxville Stone Interiors. Cole McCormick, take it away.
Thank you, Tanner. Okay, let's start. Yeah, like you said, a lot of visitors on campus this weekend. It was Tennessee's junior day over the weekend as well, so a lot of underclassmen were in Knoxville. We'll start with Devontae Nelson tweeted out on Friday that he was going to make it to Knoxville for the junior day. He is a cornerback out of Memphis University School, 5'10", 175-pound prospect. Only a three-star, though. Let's see. Number 60 in the cornerback rankings in the 2020 class. 33rd player overall in the class. So he was on campus this weekend. Always good to have some young guys come show their talents to the Vols. So maybe we'll see his name in the future signing with Tennessee. Up next, some more recruits that were on campus this weekend and their quick reactions. Probably one of the biggest names, if not the biggest name on campus, is a current commit, four-star quarterback Harrison Bailey, the quarterback of the future for the Vols. He was on campus. He tweeted out on Saturday, phenomenal visit today, hashtag GBO. Apparently he had a great time with Coach Chaney and Coach T. Martin. Enjoyed his visit on Saturday, left very happy, apparently. Just to update you on Mr. Bailey, yes, of course, he's a Tennessee commit, pro-style quarterback in the 2020 class out of Marietta High School down there in Georgia. Standing at 6'4", 220 pounds, four-star guy. Like I said, number three pro-style quarterback in the 2020 class, number eight overall player in the state of Georgia in that class. So good to have a big-time recruit on campus over the weekend. Meet the new coaches, meet probably some future teammates. Always good to see that. Next, another guy that was on campus, Brian Branch. He's out of Georgia. He tweeted out Saturday as well, after one of the best visits I've ever been on, I am so blessed to receive an offer from the University of Tennessee. Hashtag go Vols. Mr. Branch, let's see. Like I said, out of Georgia at Sandy Creek High School in the 2020 class. 6 foot, 175 pounds safety, three-star safety, 25th best in the 2020 class and 40th best prospect out of the Peach State. Along with Tennessee, he holds offers from Ohio State, Cincinnati, East Carolina, and Georgia Tech, just to name a few. So another name to keep on the radar for next year's class. Sticking with some other visitors over the weekend, Jay Hardy also tweeted out that he was in Knoxville over the weekend. He said, I had a great time at Tennessee this weekend. Can't wait to be back. Hashtag GBO, hashtag go Vols. Mr. Hardy is a defensive end out of Chattanooga. A pretty big guy, 6'4 and a half, 265 pounds, according to 247 Sports in the 2020 class. Three-star prospect, 27th best defensive end in next year's class, and 20th best player in the state of Tennessee, according to the same rankings. Along with Tennessee, he yields offers from Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Virginia Tech, and the Chattanooga Moccasins, just to name a few. So Mr. Hardy was also on campus. Another visitor, a lot of visitors this weekend. Up next is Jahari, I believe I'm saying that right, Patterson. Jahari Patterson. He is out of Asheville, North Carolina, at A.C. Reynolds. Wide receiver, 6'1", 190 pounds. Three-star prospect, number 11th overall player in the state of North Carolina in next year's signing class, and 84th best receiver, along with the Vols. He holds offers from South Carolina, East Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, and Wake Forest. And he tweeted he had a great time on his visit to the University of Tennessee. Hashtag go Vols. So good to see all the young guys come in town, enjoy their visit. Love seeing that. Love seeing that. We'll move right along to Trey Curry. He was also on campus, a big wide receiver prospect. He was here this weekend as well. He's in the 2021 class, however, so a few classes away. He's out of Cleveland, Tennessee, down there at Bradley Central High School. Go Bears. Go Bears. 6'5", 191 pounds. No star ratings yet or crystal ball predictions or other rankings since he is such a young guy. But already has the size and the offers. Along with Tennessee, he holds offers from Arkansas, Virginia, Virginia Tech, and Florida State. So already turning some heads on their recruiting trail. Up next, Marcus Henderson, a guy that Tennessee has been after for a while. He's also in the 2020 class. He was also up here this weekend for Junior Day. Out of Memphis, over at Memphis University School, offensive tackle prospect, 6'4", 315 pounds, so already in the nice weight and height range that you would want out of your offensive lineman. Four-star guy, 12th best offensive tackle in the 2020 class, and 6th best overall player in the state of Tennessee as it stands right now. His crystal ball prediction is 100% to Ole Miss, but you never know what could happen. Tennessee seems to be making up a lot of ground with his recruitment, and he also tweeted out he enjoyed his visit to Rocky Top over the weekend. Along with the Vols and the Rebels, he holds offers from Alabama, Florida, and Ohio State. So a lot of big names in there for the big man out of Memphis. So another one to keep an eye on. Moving along here, probably one of, outside of Harrison Bailey, probably one of the biggest names on campus this last weekend was Reggie Grimes. He is the number one player in the state of Tennessee for the 2020 class, and a prospect Coach Pruitt has been going after very hard recently. Grimes was quoted in saying, "They want me to help put Tennessee back on the map. They want to make them a formidable program again." An article by Jesse Simonton of Rivals.com talked about Grimes's, I guess, visit and how he enjoyed it and how some of his good friends were also up here and how they plan on playing college ball together and whatnot. But Mr. Grimes, as I said, five-star prospect, a defensive end out of Mount Juliet, Tennessee, over at Mount Juliet High School, 6'4", 230-pound defensive end prospect, number two defensive end prospect in the 2020 class, number one player in the state of Tennessee. As it sits right now, yes, it is sad, but it is 100% crystal ball to Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide.
Boo.
They have been after him very hard as well, but with Coach Pruitt on the trail for the in-state prospect, you have to feel good. Along with Tennessee and Alabama, he also holds offers from Clemson, South Carolina, and the Hogs of Arkansas.
Boo.
That's a big fish.
Pick Suey.
That's a big fish that Coach Pruitt needs to land. That is a big-time guy who could have an instant impact. In my opinion, this is just my opinion. Don't know about you guys, but Reggie Grimes is next year's Corvarus Crouch. He's got the talent, he's got the size, he could play immediately. He's a game changer.
Need to get on it.
So he is one in the 2020 class Coach Pruitt needs to go after. So good to have him on campus and good to see he enjoyed his visit. And last one for the night is Jackson Bratton. He is a current Alabama commit. He tweeted out, feeling blessed to receive an offer from the University of Tennessee. Mr. Bratton, like I said, current Crimson Tide commit. He is out of Muscle Shoals, excuse me, so it makes sense. Inside linebacker, 6'3", 225 pounds in the 2020 class. Four-star guy, fourth best inside linebacker in the 2020 class, sixth best overall player in the state of Alabama. Along with Alabama and Tennessee, he also holds offers from Nebraska, Auburn, and Ole Miss, just to name a few. So you should like your chances if you're Tennessee with Mr. Bratton, seeing how Jeremy Pruitt, Mr. Alabama himself, is on your side. So that will be one to watch for next year's class, another big-time linebacker being spotted, being tracked by Coach Pruitt and company. And with that, that will conclude this Monday edition of the Recruiting Update. Thank you, Tanner.
You're welcome, Cole. Brightman with just a very late golf club.
Thank you, Daniel. I didn't see you. There thank you. Go. Or hear you. Thank you.
Not technically recruiting, but kind of technically is. Transfer news. It was the news last week. Another big addition for Tennessee's football team. Don't know when he'll be playing. Could be this year or the next. But D'Angelo Gibbs, of course, transferring from Georgia. He was a top 50 player in the 2017 class. Jeremy Pruitt has officially released a statement on Mr. Gibbs. Pruitt said, quote, D'Angelo is a guy that I knew and our staff knew in recruiting when he was coming out of high school. He's a guy that can play on either side of the ball. He's very tough and has unique ball skills. He's a very instinctive player, and he has the size and speed. We are happy to have him at Tennessee. Mr. Gibbs, of course, probably going to set out next season. But whenever he does get on the field, he's going to be a very valuable addition to the team.
Absolutely.
Going to play him a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Switch him away from safety, so that should be an interesting transition. But he did play both ways in high school.
He did.
And as we talked about last week, man, he still tore people up.
Yeah.
As a wide receiver.
He's just a great athlete.
You need athletes all over the field, man.
Yeah.
However they can contribute. And we already saw that with Jeremy Banks, his little rotation from running back to linebacker to back again, whatever they're doing with him. So we shall see how that works. Good to see official statement now on Mr. Gibbs. And, of course, the recruiting update is always brought to you by Knoxville Stone Interiors. They are your go-to countertop renovation source. They are a local woman-owned business that's been serving Knoxville and the surrounding area for 12 years now. Three generations of experience in the natural stone countertop industry on their staff. Granite, quartz, marble, and more, whatever the surface, they have your solution. And quite literally, they have thousands of combined different options for you at whatever type of surface you may desire. And it will go good for a kitchen, of course, but there's also bathroom sinks. They can do bar areas for entertainment areas you may have in your house, like in the basement, something like that. Nice man cave. They can help you with outdoor kitchens. They can even help you find a surface for a fireplace surround. So they are helping you inside and outside the home in so many different areas of the house. And whatever the size of the project, they definitely have you covered. And most installations take less than a day. Go see the KSI showroom. They are located in the heart of Knox County at 3900 Middlebrook Pike. Call them 865-971-5800. You will get a free in-home estimate when you give them a call. Check them out online, knoxstoneinteriors.com. Knoxville Stone Interiors, 9000 kitchen makeovers and counting. Hit this break here. Got a lot of good college basketball going on right now. Michigan State, Maryland's been underway for about 45 minutes. You got North Carolina and Virginia Tech, number 10 versus number 11. That one just started recently there over in Chapel Hill. Keep you updated on that as we roll along here. 865-546-8200. Get on the Fan Run phone lines with us here. Be back after this on OT. Started talking a little
too. You did.
Okay,
yeah.
It happens. I thought you gave me the signal that the mic was on. Okay.
No, sorry.
It's okay. But anyway, what I was going to say, we went long enough without really talking about it. Saints Rams. It was a 3rd and 10. Drew Brees was looking for Tommy Lee Lewis. And then, what's that dude's name? It's like Roby Coleman.
I don't know.
Oh, I'm going to find his name. He's got like a hyphenated last name. I've never heard of the dude.
I haven't either. Just very random.
But anyway, blatant pass interference. Pass interference. Tommy Lee Lewis. First of all, the Rams defender, once I find his name, he was face guarding, first of all.
Sure.
And he comes in before the ball even gets there, just runs right into him down the sidelines.
Yeah.
No penalty.
Ah.
No penalty. Man, Saints can't even get that call at home. Rightfully so, Saints fans are mad. That was a drive in which, you know, who knows if the Saints would have ended up getting a touchdown that drive.
Yeah.
But certainly, they could have took a lot more time off. They probably could have ran down to just a few seconds left.
Sure.
And kicked the game-winning field goal as time expired. No overtime.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be fair. There were a lot of moments where the Saints could have, you know, won the game earlier. The entire game did not come down to that. However, it is something that is very important. And the NFL immediately, Sean Payton tells reporters, yeah, I just talked to the league. They blew the call.
Yeah.
Well, duh.
Anybody can see they blew that call. I mean, good grief.
I got two questions for you, Cole. And then we'll talk about some other stuff, too, especially what happened in the AFC title game. Number one, is that the worst blown call you've ever seen in an NFL playoff game, or probably an NFL game in general? And two, do refs need to start having, like, mandatory press conferences after games? Because here's the thing. If it's mandatory for players and coaches, and they have to answer for why something went right, why something went wrong, officials are just as much a part of that as anybody. And NFL wants to tell you that officials are infallible.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we don't review penalty calls. We don't review these judgment calls. Oh, sorry. NFL refs are best. Can't be questioning their integrity. NFL refs, unless there's something that's just blatantly bad, or they get caught doing something that's obviously wrong, they're not going to get punished with fines. They're not going to get punished with being relegated into lesser roles. Nothing like that's going to happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the second part of my question before I went on that rant. Do you think refs should be able, should be mandatory that they have post-game press conferences that they give and try to answer for themselves?
To answer your first question, yes. To memory, that is the worst blown call I can remember in the NFL playoffs. That was blatant pass interference. I don't see how you can say it was not. You know, honestly, you could make a case for it. Also targeting. I'm just saying. And nothing
was called. I'm shocked they didn't throw any flag.
I know.
Did you see the camera angle of the ref who just called it incomplete pass, didn't throw a flag? There was another judge rushing up to him trying to argue that it was pass interference. The ref that didn't throw the flag, he just puts his hand up. He just puts his hand up as to say, stop, don't even talk to me about it. Nope, there was no flag. That's very suspicious.
That is very suspicious.
Not saying there was some inside job or anything, but that's suspicious how...
You won't even listen to your colleague.
There's official conferences all the time about if there is actually a penalty or not.
Mm-hmm.
That happens all the time with intentional grounding calls.
Yep.
You'll see after a play is over, a flag might not be dropped initially. Refs will get together, have a little conference, drop a flag. Or if there's a flag thrown, refs will talk to each other, pick the flag up.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't that happen there?
I don't know. It's very odd. It's very strange. It was a terrible blown call, in my opinion. I think the Saints probably, not definitely, but probably could have won that game if they did get the PI call there. But you don't want to just say, oh, they definitely went on one call. There's a lot of chances they had in that entire game to go win it, and they didn't. But still, to have such a big mistake like that, especially towards the end of the game, in the magnitude of that game, it's just terrible.
Costing Alvin Kamara a trip to the Super Bowl. What's wrong with them?
I don't know.
Cannot believe it.
I don't know.
I will give you this glimmer of hope, Colt. Maybe the NFL is not completely a bunch of stubborn asses like we think they are.
Okay.
How about this? This report that came out today. The NFL apparently is going to look into changing the challenge rules after the Saints got robbed yesterday.
Mm.
The guy's name, by the way, the Rams cornerback, Nickel Roby Coleman. First name spelled N-I-C-K-E-L-L. So Nickel with one more L.
Okay.
That's how you spell his name. Nickel Roby Coleman and Tommy Lee Lewis knocked him down, of course. No call was made. And then we know the rest of the story there. NFL has not released a public statement about this officiating controversy. However, A source did manage to tell Mark Mask of the Washington Post. So, pretty reputable paper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Told Mark Mask of the Washington Post that, quote, NFL leaders and the league's rulemaking competition committee planned to consider making pass interference calls subject to challenges and replay review. Well, thank God. Thank God it took something like this happening.
Yeah.
Because if they're not going to even look into changing that after the no call was made, they're never going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that should have been a thing a long time ago.
Yeah.
You cannot, if you're the NFL, and this goes to college football as well, you cannot even say that, okay, we're not going to look into reviewing these judgment calls, yada, yada, when forever you have replay for if something was a catch or not a catch. You have replay for spot of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing this forever.
Yeah.
You tell me it's going to ruin the integrity of your great officials who do no wrong.
They aren't great.
You're going to ruin any integrity that they may have by adding the ability to look at some penalty calls? Because you already do that for targeting.
Yeah, I don't know. Nothing.
And you review every single scoring play anyway.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't get it.
I don't either. I don't understand it. I don't get it. It's just, I don't know. I don't know what you can say about it. It was terrible. Like you said, you don't want to say it was an inside job, but a part of me, a part of a lot of people, I'm sure, maybe think it is.
I think all New Orleans does.
Well, of course. But just from the outside looking in, you know, yeah, I wanted them to win so Alvin could go to the Super Bowl. But other than that, I could really care less if the Saints make the Super Bowl. But just looking at it as a fan of the game and of somebody who I believe I understand the rules pretty well, yeah, that is blatant pass interference. You can't tell me that's not pass interference.
Daniel Bratman walks back in here to the studio. Before we move over to talking about the AFC title game, DB, so did you see this report we were talking about, how the NFL, now they haven't said this officially, but this is a good source that told the Washington Post that they are looking in to consider making pass interference calls subject to challenges and replay next year. I think it's well past due for this to be happening.
Yeah.
So thoughts on that?
I agree. I think it's way past due. The only thing that I would have a problem with is if they try to enact a way that they can review all types of penalties. I don't think that should be the case at all. But, yeah, I feel like this has been a long time coming for pass interference, because how many times, hell, even college or high school, like how many times have you seen a pass interference and hasn't been called and you're like,
yep,
that just cost us, like that no call could have like really – I feel so bad for New Orleans as a city, as a whole, man. They were robbed. They were robbed.
I told Cole that just adding the ability to challenge one more type of play or penalty, that's not going to do anything to challenge any type of integrity that the rest may have. It's just acknowledging that, like players and like coaches, they're human and they make mistakes like players and coaches do. It's just part of it.
I just don't see how you make that kind of mistake.
That's a huge mistake. How do you, like, especially at that level, like where the tensions were high in the game. It's the NFC Championship. Like, that's just bad.
Especially with the viewpoint of the ref that was right there. Now, if he's further down the field, couldn't really see it, maybe. But you're right there.
That's the thing that I give the benefit of the doubt to the ref that called the roughing the passer on Tom Brady last night, because the angle he was standing,
horrible.
It was bad, but also from the angle he was standing, it looked to him like, yeah, he hit Tom Brady on the head. You can't do that. That's more understandable than that non-pass interference call, because the line judge is standing right there.
Mm-hmm. It was blatant.
Before we head to break and do birthdays after this, let's do AFC title game. Yeah, we mentioned the questionable calls there. The bigger takeaway was NFL overtime rules.
No.
Let me get into it. So, of course, Patriots win the coin toss. You want the ball in NFL overtime first. You always do. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady does the damn thing. Chiefs can't stop Julian Edelman over the middle. Rex Burkhead rushes it in from a few yards out. Patriots go to Super Bowl. Chiefs don't get a chance to touch it because, you know, first team score a touchdown wins. Does the NFL also look at maybe modifying overtime rules? Because I've been a big proponent, and it's not just me having sour grapes because the Patriots won. I think for years and years, I've never understood how the NFL did their overtime, because no other sport, especially in the playoffs, no other sport does their overtime system to where one team may never get a chance to score themselves, ever.
Yeah, I don't really understand that whole rule, but I mean, to be honest, the Chiefs, they just got utterly dominated on that in that overtime, on that drive. They just
I'm not saying their defense didn't. It's just making me think, wow, and I've said this for years, man, and a lot of other people, too. I'm not the only one who said this. Well, I'm going to say it like I'm the only one who's saying it. The college overtime rule is superior to NFL.
Oh, absolutely.
I think the simplest solution, since this is the topic of the day, one of them, NFL overtime needs to be changed. It needs to be more like college. Now, it doesn't need to be exactly like college. How about this? You give each team at least one possession. Instead of starting from the 25, start at midfield.
Yeah, I like that. Two timeouts.
Make it a little harder. Yeah, two timeouts. Or maybe you just let them play an entire quarter. But that might be making the game take too long. Maybe you play like a reduced quarter. Like an eight-minute quarter or something like that.
Yeah, like, okay. Yeah, what is 15? So like eight-minute quarter, yeah.
I just think that's no way to decide a playoff game. Look, we understand the Chiefs' defense got dominated. If you can't stop a slant to Edelman on third and long multiple times, I mean—
yeah, that was bad.
You probably deserve it. We know the Chiefs' defense is bad. But if you're in the NFL, man, and the media too, and we were all excited for it. The whole week of preparation for watching that game was, it's the past Tom Brady versus the future of the NFL and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
It's probably the two best quarterbacks in the NFL, at least this season, going at it right here. Okay, you've been marketing that, and because of your playoff rules, you're not going to let Patrick Mahomes have a chance, but yeah, you've been marketing this showdown.
I mean, I understand it. Giving Patrick Mahomes a chance with the ball, that I'm not necessarily say that would entirely change the outcome of the game.
No,
it would certainly, I mean, raise the possibility of a Chiefs win.
NFL just has to look at it from the standpoint of nobody else decides playoff games like this.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else does a type of system like that. In basketball and hockey is different because there's no offense versus defense type of thing, but like no other sport does it. College football doesn't do it like this. Why do we do it like this?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
And maybe some of the fear might be, oh, will we do it like college? Games might take way, way, way too long.
That's exciting, though.
The 7-overtime LSU-Texas A&M game was fantastic.
Yes, it was.
I had never seen of a regular season game that wasn't like a top five matchup like that. I've never seen so many people like interact on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
With that game, it makes it more exciting. That's why college football is just going to be better.
Exactly.
I don't care. There's more talent in the NFL. I don't care. Some of the games are closer. College football is just a better product.
Yep.
Can't convince me otherwise. Cannot convince me otherwise. Oh, well. Off my soapbox here. 865-546-8200. We got 30 more minutes or so show left. We got birthdays coming up next. Stick with us here on Overtime.
Time to play the game!
Man, Cole McCormick gets fired up over Holly Warlick and the Lady Vols.
Demon!
About to drop another one!
What quarter is it?
Second, but it's not looking good.
Oh.
Arkansas, I don't know anything about Arkansas women's basketball this year. I assume they're pretty mediocre.
Yeah.
Sitting at 13-5. 2-2 in the conference.
Okay, a little better, but still, it's a home game for Lady Vols. Arkansas 29-17.
29-21 now.
Okay, well, they're trying to fight back. Holly drops five in a row, man. And before we get to birthdays, how about that irony today? Tennessee men's basketball, number one in the country. Tennessee Lady Vols, unranked.
This is like some kind of vortex we're in.
We're in the upside down.
Lucas Panziga had a great tweet that said that the men's basketball team was ranked one, and the women's basketball team was not ranked. This is the upside down.
We are in the upside down. Lucas put it perfectly. Cole, we stepped into the transfer portal.
I know.
And it spit us out in some alternate dimension.
Oh, man. So weird.
Well, let's get back to
normal. It's nice, but it's weird.
Let's get back to normal. We got birthdays. We have 9 total. Had 6 from yesterday.
Ooh.
Some pretty good names. Only 3 today. Overall, good names. I'm going to give this an A-.
Okay.
So pretty solid.
Okay.
Let's start with yesterday's. He turned 53 years old. He's an American actor of both TV and film. He's known for generally comedic roles. I'll go ahead and tell you. Let's see here. Okay, he's most known for playing one of the main supporting roles on one of the most beloved comedies of the 21st century. Everybody watches it. Everybody quotes it. Glasses.
Oh, Rainn Wilson.
Cole got the whole name.
Dwight.
Yeah.
Dwight Cashroot.
Yep.
I love that show.
Damn, Bratman's so close. Bratman got the first name, but Cole got all of it. Yep, Rainn Wilson. Turned 34 yesterday. I have a feeling Bratman's not going to like this one because he's a country star. But he's a name, though.
Okay.
I don't even like modern country, and I've heard of him. Let's see. You like to know hometowns of these people, Bratman. He's from Jefferson, Georgia, if that helps. Probably doesn't help.
A lot of them are from Georgia.
Okay. Let's read some of these singles. I guarantee I hate all these songs. Here we go. Known for hits such as Bottoms Up.
Oh, Brantley Gilbert.
It's Brantley Gilbert. One Hell of an Amen.
That's a good one.
The Weeknd.
That one, not so much.
Small Town Throwdown.
That one, not so much.
With Justin Moore, Thomas Rhett.
That one, I'm not a fan of.
God.
I'm not a fan of.
Him, Justin Moore, Thomas Rhett makes me want to puke.
I'll tell you what. Brantley Gilbert, he has a rough crowd that follows him.
Really?
Like, have y'all...
I see. He's got some big ass... What has he got? Gauges?
Yeah, he's...
Oh, wow.
His followers are mainly, like, really rough... At least look rough. Roughneck, like motorcycle.
Really?
Yeah, just tatted up. Nothing but leather. Just mean. Oh, yeah.
Kind of
shocked me. It's a pretty hard following.
Thank you for telling me about the Brantley Gilbert fan base.
You wouldn't think so, but they are. Clue. When they rolled into TBA not too long ago, yeah, it's scary.
Nice. All right, here. He turned big 89 yesterday. Won the first man on the moon.
Buzz Aldrin. Have y'all seen that video of him punching that dude?
I retweeted it. You probably saw it.
Okay, that's probably what it was.
Yeah, dude, just nerd comes up to me. You hear the whole audio, too. He's got this microphone, runs up to Buzz Aldrin, just out on the street somewhere. He's not just trying to ask him if the moon landing was fake. He's saying, like, the moon landing was fake. You are a liar. You are a coward. You are something. Before he even gets the next word out, Buzz Aldrin, old-ass Buzz Aldrin, just clocks him.
Just clocks him.
Is it on your Twitter?
Retweet it.
Right in the face. I think it was today, wasn't it?
Yesterday was his birthday.
Yeah, today or yesterday.
Oh, it was great.
Just right in the nose.
Let's keep moving on here through yesterday's birthdays.
Twitter name, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Fan of number one Tennessee Hoops, Tanner Carson.
There you go.
That's who I am. He turned 67 yesterday. American rock legend. He's a front man for one of the most famous rock groups. They've been around since the 70s. They're actually on like their third farewell tour currently, by the way. Known for wearing some makeup.
Kiss.
Who's the artist?
Gene Simmons.
No.
The lead singer?
One of the front men. Yes. He's a guitarist.
In Kiss? It's not Gene Simmons?
Simmons isn't Kiss. It's not Gene Simmons' birthday. I'm talking about the guitarist and front man.
That's the only Kiss member I know.
Okay. His initials are P.S. Does that help? He's the star
Paul
child.
Paul Simon.
No.
His name is Paul, though.
Paul
Simeon.
Paul
Samson.
It's Paul Stanley.
Oh.
Paul Stanley.
Name
okay.
Ring a bell?
No.
Ah, damn. Ah, he's from Kiss, though.
Yeah?
All right, still 3-0, Cole. 52 yesterday she turned. This is an American actress known for movie and TV roles. Her breakout. Did you just see it?
Yeah.
Dude, he clocks him.
Wow, sorry. I did not mean to interrupt you, but that's incredible.
He clocked his ass.
He did.
Absolutely. It's something that's so. It just makes you feel good.
He's an American treasure.
American hero and treasure. Yeah. All right, by the way, okay. 52 yesterday. Her breakout role was in this 1995 classic, Clueless. She's also been in films such as Renaissance Man. Her TV roles, CSI, Single Ladies. She's been on the reality TV show Celebrity Circus. She's been in Kanye West's music video, All Falls Down. Huh. She's also a political commentator, conservative. Her initials are SD.
SD?
Samantha?
No.
I don't know.
Wow.
35 seconds, Cole.
I have no idea.
Stacey Dash.
I don't know who that is. Do you?
I don't either.
Wow, really? No, I'm sure you.
What station is she on? Fox.
Fox News. Okay. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Figured you would have like at least heard of her.
I was thinking through all the ladies on Fox.
All right, still 3-0 Cole. This last birthday for yesterday. He turned 30. He's an NFL quarterback. Last year, Super Bowl MVP.
Nick Foles.
Oh, yeah.
It is Foles. Nick Foles.
Yeah.
He's a man. He's 30.
He is.
Did not know he was that old.
Yeah.
No lie.
Been in the league for a minute now. Do you all remember where he played his college football?
Foles?
Arizona?
Yeah, Arizona. Oh, Arizona right. Wildcat.
That's right, yeah.
All right, it's 3-1. Man, Bradman could probably, if he sweeps today's birthdays, he takes the game.
Probably not going to happen.
How many do we have?
We got three more. Mm. We got nine total, but two no answers. Mm. I think two of these would be a lot more easier. He would have been 150 years old today. This is a very peculiar figure in history, especially 20th century European history here, Russian history.
He would have been how old? I'm sorry.
150. He was
Joseph
a Russian.
Stalin?
No.
Ah.
Rasputin?
Is Rasputin.
You said Russian.
Yes.
Yeah.
Grigori Rasputin. He was a Russian mystic, self-proclaimed holy man, who befriended the family of Tsar Nicholas II, the last monarch of Russia. Hmm. And then, you know, they tried to kill him a million times.
Yeah.
He would not die.
Yeah.
The Bolsheviks tried to kill him. Mm. Lenin tried to kill him. Didn't happen. Mm. Well, they finally did, but took
them
a while, though.
That's true.
Yeah. Happy 150th birthday, Rasputin. Cole takes the game. Let's get through the rest of these. He's 56 years old today. He's an NBA legend, NBA Hall of Famer, two-time NBA champion. Won them back-to-back in the 90s in between the Bulls championships. He's a big man. Played for
Bill Laimbeer?
Nope. Played for Phi Slamma Jamma in Houston.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
It's Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon. Big seven-footer. He was born in Lagos, Nigeria.
Mm.
Yep, played for the Rockets from 84 to 2001 and the Raptors for the 01-02 season.
Hmm.
1994 NBA MVP. 12-time All-Star.
Wow.
Yep. Pretty good. Last up, he would have been 66 today. Kind of tragic because he died pretty recently. He was an American business magnate, investor, software engineer, humanitarian.
Steve Jobs.
And close to Steve Jobs, though. He was alongside Bill Gates. He's a co-founder of
Stephen
Microsoft.
Stephen Hawking?
No. Co-founder of Microsoft?
Stephen Hawking.
Paul Allen?
It's Paul Allen. No, he owned Ford. He co-founded Microsoft, but he owned the Seahawks and the Trailblazers, part owner of the Seattle Sounders. Yeah.
I forgot he died.
Yeah, tragic. What? Died in October.
What did he die of?
Probably cancer.
Oh, was it?
Okay. Let me see exactly, though. Yep. Oh, wow. Man, this... Yeah, Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Mm.
He first got diagnosed with back in 1982, fought that off. Yeah. Then it came back. Oh. It said he was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in 2009. It was successfully treated until it returned back again in 2018. His death was caused by septic shock. Ugh.
That's rough. Wow, that's tough.
Had a big impact, though. Paul Allen definitely had a big impact.
Yeah.
And that does it for birthdays here, January 21st. And we had to take a break here. We got one more segment to go in overtime. Last chance to get on the show with us here. Hit us up on the Fan Run phone lines for 865-546-8200. Back to finish the show strong. After this, you are listening to Fan Run Radio. Florida State, what are you doing, man? What did they think they were doing today? Today, of course, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. RIP to MLK.
Rest in peace.
One of the GOATs, sure. For sure.
Yeah.
In the areas of activism, civil rights, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you haven't learned about Martin Luther King Jr. in school, I don't know what else to tell you. I kind of don't need to give the whole lesson on him. But we've had the federal holiday for about 30 years now. to honor his legacy. And, of course, a lot of sports teams, brands are going to acknowledge that, hey, today's MLK Day. Take some time to remember his legacy. You know, do whatever. Florida State recruiting. Florida State football recruiting, man. They did something else today on Twitter. Let me describe this. This earlier today. It's at FSU underscore recruiting. I don't want to laugh, but I kind of do, because this is how ridiculous this is. Tweet out, happy MLK Day. Hashtag go Noles. Hashtag do something, which is Willie Taggart's slogan. And hashtag MLK 2019. The graphic they put with the tweet. It's the Florida State slogan, do something. It has an MLK quote. It's very hard to read down here. If I cannot do great things, I can do small things in a great way. Good quote. The problem is, though, coming out of the O in the word do and do something, it's MLK. His hand's kind of raised out like he's waving. They have his hand changed to like where he's doing the tomahawk chop. He has a Nike Vaporfly glove on.
Yeah.
Mm. Please, turn your laptop.
Brackman hasn't seen it.
I have not seen this. Oh, yikes.
Yeah.
That not a very smart move by
people
the
aren't happy.
Florida State's marketing department, I guess, or that be, I guess, social media department, which I guess is a wing or a branch of the marketing department.
Of course, they not apologized. Yeah. They apologized within the hour. The account responded with a written statement, not on the Notes app, like a professional statement.
Okay.
I'm listening. I'm sorry. I'm trying to. Try not to burp on air. I've been drinking a beverage.
Let's not do that.
Trying to not do that. The statement said, in a well-intentioned effort to recognize Martin Luther King Jr. on this special day, a member of our recruiting staff created a graphic using one of Dr. King's quotes, if I cannot do great things, I can do small things in a great way. The quote resonated with our program's Do Something mantra. However, in our attempt to more closely connect the message to FSU, we foolishly posted a graphic that was not in line with our intent. We are sorry for missing the mark in our attempt to celebrate Dr. King's legacy. Yikes. The FSU recruiting Twitter account, which has about 37,000 followers, is mostly dedicated to promoting the team's incoming recruits, current players, and coaching staff members. Oh, cringe.
Yeah.
Just absolute cringe. Like, what are you thinking?
I don't know.
How hard is it to just post just a picture of him?
Yeah.
If you just post a regular picture of Dr. King in that graphic, there's no problem. They put a Nike glove on him.
Yeah, that probably wasn't the best thing to do.
Doing the Tomahawk Chop.
That probably wasn't the best.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. That's just the dumbest thing I've absolutely ever seen. Oh. Like, how do you move on from that? People are always going to remember that account with that.
They'll get over it here soon. Give it a week.
But still, I did not expect to see that today.
Yeah, it did. It caught my eye as well when I first saw it.
I did not expect to see that today.
It's just,
it's unfortunate they had to do that.
Yeah.
God didn't have to do that. Oh, okay. Let's move over here and give an update on the train wreck that is Lady Vols basketball. Halftime. Arkansas visiting Arkansas up 40-31.
Yikes.
Daniel, you showed me a video of Tennessee's quote-unquote defense.
Yeah. All you guys listen out there, go on Twitter, and it's actually on John Reed quote tweeted it. It is it's kind of embarrassing to watch. These girls do not look like they're playing for anything out there. Just half-assing it up the court. And it's We Back Pat night, as per Russell Smith's latest tweet.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
I think they're trying to get Holly out of town, honestly. After watching that video, they're barely...
That's horrible.
They're barely moving.
It's Pat Summit night, and her name is on the court.
They're barely moving.
I almost cursed, but I caught myself.
Thank you. Saved us a lot of trouble. Do you think Holly just knows already and her players kind of know? I think at this rate, she'll resign in the middle of the season. Because if it starts to get really bad and you're staring at a fifth straight loss right now, they don't have a comeback effort, there's no way you're making it through the rest of the season. How can you go out there on the court each and every night?
Yeah.
And not as many people attend Lady Vols home games as the men's games, and this is even not within the context that the men are number one right now. But not as many attend, but they will boo.
Yeah, they
the
will.
The boo birds will be out. They will hear about it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, the thing about all of this is that if you replace your coach, this is not a hard job to turn things around. It's not hard to do for the ladies, Lady Vols. This is not difficult.
Let's say a new coach does come in next year. They are getting the number one and number four recruiting classes.
Exactly.
Already on the roster. And then they're saying pretty good right now with current recruits.
Exactly.
The last I checked.
Yeah.
You're not getting no rebuild.
This isn't a tough rebuild. And I'm not saying it because it's a women's sport. I'm saying it because it's the ladies. Because it's the Lady Vols. This is not tough to do.
This is like rebuilding Kentucky men's basketball.
Exactly.
This
it's not
same
hard.
Type of thing. They'll do it tonight. Holly, get out of here. I think she's done herself, probably. I think she knows. For Daniel Bratman and Cole McCormick, I'm Tanner Carson. We've been talking about your number one Tennessee men's basketball program. And we will be back on Overtime tomorrow. Well, when you're sitting back.